All right, so Philippians chapter 2, I'd like to share a little bit today from the idea that Jesus has given us a name above every other name, that Christ is above every other name, and how that we apply that to our lives and receive the power to be witnesses on our workplace and around. Not just receive healing for ourselves, but you can apply that to this. And let me first condition that by saying, really, God intended us to draw this power. There's a phrase repeated over and over in Acts, you know, after they prayed, or as they worshiped God, the Spirit spoke to them. Or as after they prayed, they separated Paul and Silas for the ministry. Or after they prayed, or after he had a vision, God told him this, and then he went and did this. That phrase, after they prayed, I just wanted to point out and remind us that a lot of the things that we get from God and a lot of the moves and the blessing that we're to be to someone else comes after times of fellowship with God. And we see that Jesus often withdrew away, and he fellowshiped with God first. And then there was a power. The Christian life, we're not intended to get this power from ourselves or from sheer willpower. We're not intended to get strength or derive healing power from just going about saying it. We are intended to derive it from a sweet presence of God and from fellowship with God. We're intended and created for that. And not just to win the lost, but first of all, because God loves us and wants to talk to us. He wants to fellowship with us. And there's such a strong desire in the Father's heart. It's always stronger than our own desire for Him. And that scripture, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you, is so fulfilling and it's so true. And God will make up such a great distance. If we feel in a gulf or feel separated, we feel like there's a gulf fixed between us and God. If we draw near just a little bit, he's just waiting to shower his blessing and his wisdom on us and his power. And we see that in Jesus' life. Often it says he withdrew and he went up to a mountain to pray and he withdrew. And then you'll see a lot of miracles in the chapter right after that because he maintained that closeness to the Father. He still had to operate as a man endued with power here on earth. He didn't just, you know, you see the little pictures of him as a baby. He didn't come down here as a baby and start laying hands on chickens like some gospels have said. You know, I think it was the Gospel of Thomas. He healed some baby bird when he was a baby, a child. And that's just, that's not supported by Scripture. He grew, and then he was anointed by John, or he was, you know, baptized with the Holy Spirit in the River Jordan. And then his ministry began. But that's an important distinction. And we're to operate the same way, dependent on that fellowship. Like John 15, abide in me, and then you'll bear much fruit. There's that Scripture, and there's that principle. So that's first off. You know, so that we know, I'm not coming from a point of view of us initiating some kind of power from within ourselves. I'm talking about that rich power that flows from a natural love for the Father, and it just stems out of that. Just as a husband and wife, they love each other a certain way, it produces fruit. They have children, they have offspring from that love. From our love for the Father, there's supposed to be fruit and offspring. And that comes naturally. And actually, it's a lot more effortless than what we think. You know, we think, oh, I've got to witness. Oh, I've got to do this. That's just condemnation. It's not, we can flow freely out of these things so that people at work, you'll listen, you'll hear a need. When you're around the lost or around people that don't know God, your neighbors, it'll come naturally out of that love for God because you love those people. That love for people will come from your fellowship and God showing you how much He loves you. It'll be very easy to love people, and this stuff will flow more naturally as we move forward and we grow and we become the body that God intended us to be, because all of us want to get better. And I'd also like to, a minister shared with me this phrase. It was Keith Moore down at Rhema, and he said, you know how people say, you can never pray enough. You can never do this enough. Yes, you can. You can do enough for yourself. You can do enough in each day. If you can never do enough, then there's a guilt, an associated guilt, and there's a work. There is enough. There's enough of a prayer life for you. God, there's a time each day that you have with God. There is enough. You can pray enough for a day and then enjoy that day stemming out of that relationship. Obviously, Jesus didn't sit there. He didn't go away on the mountain all the time, or else he couldn't have ministered to people. So he wasn't on that mountain by himself with God all the time. So there is enough. And so just hope that encourages you. And then let's look at Philippians 2, just to focus this on the Christ that's above everything else. It's just a rich scripture, as all of them are. But Philippians 2, verse 9, as a result, God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. This is after his death on the cross, and he humbled himself, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Verse 10, Philippians 2, verse 9 and 10. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I'm reading out of the NET translation, the New English translation. So it might not line up with some of your New King James. I've got my New King James here too. Some of those phrases are just quicker in my mind. But then I wanted to remind us of the fact that there is power to be a witness. Let's look in Mark 5. And I like this translation because he actually... Let's look in Mark 5 with the woman with the issue of blood. As she approaches Jesus. That's after Matthew. Talking to myself here. For some reason, I went way past that. It's not going to be... All right, Mark chapter 5, verse 30. We just want to remind that when people get healed, power is involved. And no ministers have, pastors shared that he'll feel some heat in his hands. I've never felt the power of God, never been slain in the Spirit, but I've seen miraculous healings wrought by my obedience to God, by my praying with someone. But I've never quaked in the Spirit, never been knocked over by the power of God. I'm open to it. I wouldn't reject it, but I don't know the reason why. But I do know this, that healing power entered a body that I prayed for, and that body was healed. And I know that. So we don't want to look to just natural things, but there is power. There is power. So when we're praying, whether you feel it or not, there is power available to the believer. And especially, we're receiving this on our own behalf, this healing, but we're also talking about for the lost and for those that don't know God and for those that Christians at work and friends you have that you're praying for, if they give you an open door and their will's open to it, there's all manner of power available to heal and to change their circumstances and to minister to them. So that's the kind of power we're talking about. So in Mark 5, verse 30, this woman comes up, she grabs the hem of his garment, and it says, Jesus knew at once that power had gone out from him. I just wanted, and some of your Bibles say virtue, but that word's probably better translated power, because virtue in the English language today is more associated with character traits. But know at once, he knew at once that power had gone out from him. And then let's look at Acts 1:8, and we're just going to stir ourselves up in this, the fact that there's power going out from us when we pray. And then we'll probably have an opportunity to pray at the end. And we're going to talk about, if any of you have a need, we'll agree with you for that. But also for ourselves, we're going to address some things here. And Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea to the farthest parts of the earth. Now, what did the body of Christ do after that, after they received power? Let's see what they did in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2. Let's see some of the things that happened here. Or let's quote Acts chapter 2, verse 17 here. And in the last days it will be, God says, that I will pour out my Spirit on all people, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will perform wonders in the sky above and miraculous signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will be changed to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But notice that he pours out his Spirit. He pours out his Spirit. He pours out his power for miracles. So we can believe for that in our lives. And we know that daily was added to the church, and that miraculous signs were wrought. In Acts 2:43, see, reverential awe came over everyone, and many wonders and miraculous signs came about by the apostles. But like we mentioned in the intro, so to speak, then the breaking of bread and prayer preceded this. They had a time of prayer preceding this, and an attitude of prayer. So that out of that fellowship comes wonders and miraculous signs came about by the apostles. and all who believed were together and held everything in common. See, many wonders and miraculous signs came about by the apostles. So I'm just stirring us up this morning on the fact that we have the power to be witnesses. Verse 24 here says, "But God raised him up," of chapter 2, "but God raised him up, having released him from the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held in its power." That's another scripture about the power that raised Christ from the dead. Death can't hold this power. How many people were raised from the dead in the New Testament? It's a rhetorical question, I mean. You don't have to think of all of them. But even Peter started raising people from the dead. And what did John say in 14? John 14, let's look at that. Because people will say, well, that was Jesus, that was the apostles. But remember the power to be witnesses? Remember what Peter said? This is for those who are here and for those who will come after, didn't he? Did he say that? Yeah, he said those who will come after. He said this is for those that are here and those who will come after. Does someone know that verse right away? Because that wasn't initially part of this.
About the works.
No, when Peter stood up and he said, and this is for those who will come after, for those who will follow, in Acts he says that this is for those here and for those who will come after. Anyway, Peter says that during his speech, and it is for those who will come after. I met a man; his church is growing and thriving. He's a Baptist minister. I got born again at that church, not under his leadership, but he said, boy. He said, I really love the curriculum from the AG for our children's church. He said, we basically delete, we throw out all that stuff about the gifts of the Spirit, of course. And he's nodding at me like, I agree, because I was raised, you know, I attended that church as a kid, is a better word for it. So I attended that church as a kid and got born again there. But I couldn't follow him on that statement. I just kept my mouth shut, though, because I could tell he was a strong mind in that teaching. But, you know, and I wasn't going to correct a man, my senior. So he wasn't really open to it. But he said, boy, the gifts of the Spirit, though, they passed away. And I wanted to open up all those scriptures, but it was too much fun enjoying the growth that his church was having. He's having a lot of families come in and get born again. He's just deciding whether or not to have two services or blow out the walls of the church. So praise God for that. He's walking in when he's walking in. And I, you know, can't be more grateful for the word that I was. In fact, that snared me. As a Baptist, that snared me into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I got snared because they taught us to follow the Word. So once these Pentecostals had Scripture in Acts 2, that's right. Thanks, Bernard. Acts 2, verse 39. Acts 2, verse 39. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And he's talking about the promise of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And let's see what Jesus said along these lines of miracle working power working through the church. We are his body, right? Did he just mean figuratively some vague notion that we were to be a class educated by Jesus and that's it? Or did he mean, in fact, that we are an extension of the head and supposed to be operating in the same things that Jesus operated in? What do you think he meant? Is it just some classroom? Are we just a bunch of students that learn some general teachings? Or are we really supposed to be flowing as the head flowed on earth? I believe we are supposed to be flowing as the head flowed. So let's look at John 14. I know some of you know some of these scriptures, but I'm not going to make apologies for reviewing them, I'll tell you that. There's power in these, and we all need what's contained in these. So verse 12, I tell you the solemn truth. And some of us are new, and some of us are revisiting these things. You know, we've been taught these things since, if we got born again in the 80s, we've been taught this word of faith message since the 80s. If we got born again earlier, we've been being taught these things since maybe the 70s, and in real strength. And the body of Christ had them long before, like E.W. Kenyon. You know, he believed some of these things about the power of God long before Brother Hagin or any of the modern faith movement preachers or Charles Capps. Long before all that. And these things were taught by Smith Wigglesworth long before that. So these principles, those that grab hold and the body of Christ that grabs hold, there's just a truth to be had here and a grace that we have and a power that we have that if we meditate on steadily, you will become it. You know, we're not going to get here by our current level of entertainment. You know, We're just not going to get there. I don't believe. We're not going to get there by our current social norms for entertainment in our lives. We're not going to get there. I'm sorry. If we're going to have to give up a little bit of the desire. And I'm speaking to myself. You know, it's easy to sit down after a long day at work. I understand that, and veg in front of the TV. But these things are not going to come because what you meditate on, you're going to become. And if just odds-wise, the time and attention we give, say you're reading scriptures all day, or when you have time, and when that study time's there, when you're reading these scriptures, you're going to become what you meditate on, especially men. You know, men, they're very visual. You know, the visual thing guides them. You can just watch that. With the difference between if you watch a girl watch a movie and you watch your boys watch a movie, how entertaining is that? Have you seen the boys who are like, and right after the movie, they go out and they act out all the things they saw. It's very visual. Well, think if they apply the same thing to the Word of God. You know, because little boys are right away. One of my boys, when he was watching Spider-Man, and he was too young to even know anything, he was out acting it before the movie was over. He'd run off and play with his toys. It was so, had that power and grip, you know, over your mind. Because he's out there, he's Spider-Man in his room before the movie's done. And then he'd conk out, and the other kids would get to watch the movie. But we're so made to feed. So I think, how much more, what if we're studying the power of God and the availability of this miracle-working power in our lives, if we meditate on it, we might go out and actually see some of these things before we have time to think about it and rationalize and curb our desire to win people and to show them the love of God. We might just get all excited. So, you know, let's dare ourselves to get real excited about what this has. And we might just find ourselves laying hands on the sick before we have time to rationalize and say, no, I better not. What if? And we get tighter and more fearful instead of saying, no, what about the other side? What about what God's promised would happen? Did you find John 14 yet? I tell you the solemn truth, Jesus said, the person who believes in me will perform the miraculous deeds that I am doing and will perform greater deeds than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Boy, he wants the glory. Boy, God wants to show himself today, just like he did with Jesus, so that people come up. Do you know people even, you remember in Acts it said people long to put people, the sick, they brought the sick so that Peter's shadow would fall on them. It doesn't say they were healed by a shadow, but it does say people brought. And I assume there's a reason. Why did they believe that even his shadow would mean something? This man must have been charged. And there's a lot of similarities between the power of God and electricity. You know, for instance, in Jude, when it says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, the translators in Greek scholars say that that's more accurately translated, charged up like a battery, more than an edifice being restructured, more than walls. Because when we hear built up, we think of, you know, maybe walls or construction. But they said charged up is probably a more accurate translation of that Greek word, built up. So we're supposed to be charged with that. And it says praying in the Holy Spirit. So it goes back to Acts 1:8. That power to be witnesses can be stirred. And that power went out of Jesus. Let's see here. So 14, verse 12 and 13. And I will end, if you need further confirmation, this isn't so we can believe whatever we want to, just ugly stuff or selfish stuff. First John 5, 14 and 15 says, if you ask anything according to my will, and we know that the will is in the word, this is the confidence that we have before him. 1 John 5:14, that whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in regard to whatever we ask, then we know that we have the request that we have asked from him. See that? Then we know, if we know his will. And we know his will by the word. And we can see what Jesus did. We said that there was miraculous signs. Remember, let's turn here to, there's a lot of directions we can go with this, but let's turn to Acts 3, verse 6. All these are just like little vitamin shots in our arm. And then we're going to pray after getting stirred up here. We're going to just pray and believe God for doors of opportunity and windows. We're going to stand and believe for that. And we'll see testimonies come out of this. But Peter said, Acts 3, verse 6, I have no silver or gold. Remember the guy's begging? He's been lame from his birth, and he used to be carried and set at the temple gate called the Beautiful Gate. And those going into the temple, he'd beg from them and ask them for money. And Peter looked directly at him, and so did John. They said, look at us. So that takes some boldness, you know. You can tell that they're expecting something to happen. Look at us, they said. They didn't even wait for him to cry out. I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. That means Peter had something. You know, what I do have, I give you. What do we have? We're not gonna do it boldly if we don't believe we have. Peter believed he had. What do we believe we have? Do we believe, oh, maybe this person will get healed if we see someone sick or they, and some of this takes some listening too, you know. I'll notice someone will look kind of down, but they get busy at work, they move on to another project, and I didn't really listen. And then I realized if I had just listened 30 seconds more, they were going to share with what, and sometimes we get busy or something, and it can just say, hey, I'm going to be thinking about you, I'm going to go home. And I'll grab them because they hear that a lot, stuff like that. I'll be thinking of you. We write that in cards. But sometimes I grab people at work and I say, no, I mean my kids, my wife and I, we're going to sit down at home, take time, and talk to God about your situation. And I explain to them exactly what I mean by, I'll pray for you, because I don't mean I'm going to think nice, happy thoughts. I don't mean that. I mean my family, my wife and I, we're going to get your name, we're going to sit down, we're going to take time talking to God about your situation, and we believe He'll intervene. He's going to do something. I don't always have the faith to tell them what, unless God reveals that to me. I don't know what. And do where you're at. Do what you're comfortable with, because what you can do in boldness is where that power is released. You don't try to do something that you heard someone, like, you know, we always hear stories of some Bible college guy that goes out and starts laying hands on everybody in a hospital and just makes a fool of himself if he doesn't do that because God told him. And we'll hear about things like that make the body of Christ look foolish. We're not talking about that. But what you can do, do boldly and do confidently. But I do believe the more we meditate on these scriptures and what it means to be filled with the power of God, the more we meditate on these principles, the more results we'll see. Because it's just natural what we meditate on, just like they did with those sheep and goats. They had them look at certain things. Remember, Jacob got that wisdom to reproduce after their kind and to reproduce a certain type. Then he had to meditate on certain things. And what we meditate on, we will become. And we are sheep. We are his herd. You know, we are supposed to follow his voice and follow after him and be a mimic of him. And not just a mimic, but a we're supposed to have the same power flowing through us. Because he's our head, we're his body. It's such a great thing that we're his body. It's such a simple phrase, but think of how lasting and how powerful that is when we really, really grasp that, what that means. We are to be his hands and his feet on the earth. When we walk, there's power there. There's victory where we step. There's stand. There's light on the scene. If work is confused or dark or hidden. The workplace I dealt with 3 years ago is very different in the workplace, and I wanted to leave there so bad. I had a horrible boss, and I love the man, but his management skills were awful. He would just yell and cuss at us, coming just about anytime I went left, he would say, why the blankety blank didn't you go right? And anytime I went right, he'd cuss and say, why didn't you go left? That type of just absolute corrective anger all the time. And I'd listen to these CDs on my way to work and back. And they were of the New Testament. And I'd get to that scripture, and it said, to the good and the harsh, show respect, serve to the good and the harsh. And I had every right legally, so to speak, or I could justify leaving that job, but I didn't. And God brought in leadership. That man was removed over the course of time. I wanted him to change, but if he didn't change, my wife and I were praying about it. We just thought, well, he can be removed. Over the course of time, we got a guy, as far as I know, he's born again. Everything that he says and does tells me he is. And not that we need all Christians at work, but this man operates on godly principles. He came in, had special meetings with me just to draw out the problems of my job. And he separated my positions into two positions. When people saw that, hey, Josh is doing this job differently, then it opened the door. People hated my job, and it was so tough to recruit for my job. Then I got two two other guys. And I was able to, God, through some relationship stuff, they were interested in the position. And it's become a whole different work environment where we really are concerned about each employee. The whole environment's changed in 3 years. The whole environment. But if I would have quit, I would have removed that light and that power. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying this stuff, it takes a little bit of endurance. It takes a little bit of gritting our teeth and doing and just serving. It does. It does, and now that's just one tiny little natural example of light being on the scene of dark, of darkness or just angry or tense situations, I was just struggling not to quit. I can't brag about the situation because I was just struggling not to quit. That's all. That was my goal, was to come home and go back the next day and not come home crying too loud. You know, I mean, I would almost whimper because you're torn and your flesh wants to respond and wants to leave, but your spirit's saying to the good and harsh. There's that still small voice that comes up and it sounds like scripture, and you can't get away from it. And that's what we yield to. And now there's fruit produced, and that environment is thriving. It's thriving. I won't give you all the details, and it's really none of people's business to some degree, but I share the example because it's similar. If that can change something that natural, and so many things and so many people can change in such a small time, then I just think, what influence can we have in our neighborhoods and everything? Say you pray for one person, like in our building, there are these two senior citizens have come up and asked my kids and my wife. I haven't been around, you know, when I'm at work and stuff, and they've grabbed my kids and my wife and asked for prayer. And all I know is we prayed for a neighbor below us. So I don't know if the word got around or if they just see these are the type of people who would pray for me. I don't know, but the word's getting around. And so gradually people will come. And Pastor's been sharing lately, there's a time that people come. You know, they called for the elders of the church. Or Cornelius, he had a vision. He had a vision, and then he sent for Peter. But he sent for Peter. He initiated, he responded to God, and he sent for Peter. And I'm looking for the days when people are finding the Christians at work. They're finding the Christians because there's something different about this. There's something charged. And what I have, give by thee. You know, what we have, we can give to them. And that's the days we're heading into, the days we've all been hoping for, praying for, and wanting. And that's what we're going to see going forward. The days when people are asking for believers. Is there a believer here? Someone, you know, is there a doctor in the house? That phrase. Is there a believer in the house? Is there a believer in the house? I mean, look at they called, was it Peter or Paul that they called when Tabitha died? There was Tabitha, she died, and she made all these beautiful clothes. And then Peter. And so they called Peter. And she had already been dead. They laid her up in an upper room. It's disgusting. You know, I mean, think about it just from a natural point of view. It's thank God they didn't have, you know, 911 probably would have called in. They'd have had her in the morgue already. But we've heard testimonies about that too. People being raised up in the morgue. Andrew Womack's son. But it takes being charged and being available. And I, you know, I don't hold myself as an example up about that. Exactly, but we're heading that direction, and that's where we're going to go. And let's look at Isaiah 61, because Jesus spoke this about himself, just to encourage us of, this was Jesus' mission, and he fulfilled it, and we're his body, and we'll fulfill it. Hallelujah. So the Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has chosen me. He has commissioned me to encourage the poor, to help the brokenhearted, to decree the release of captives and the freeing of prisoners, to announce the year when the Lord will show his favor, the day when our God will seek vengeance to console all who mourn." You know, there's a place for the body to announce the coming of Christ, to announce that day of the Lord. There is a place for that. We don't do that so much. We don't want to put people under condemnation or fear. But there's a day they're going to meet God face to face. And there is a time. There will be a time that you're led to share that with people. There is a time to tell them, Christ is coming back soon. You know, this is a reality. It's not going to be some alien force removes all the evil from the planet. You know, who knows what people will believe when we leave. But I want to warn them. There is a day coming. The time is short. I want you to know God now. I want you to enjoy him. We want people to enjoy life with God before eternity hits them. We want them to enjoy that. And then let's look how Jesus quoted this in Luke 4. And he applied it to himself, to Christ's body. He applied it to Christ's body. Luke 4, verse 17. Yeah, verse 17. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, verse 16 says, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. I love that. Pastors have shared on that before, but it's such a great point to reiterate that this was his custom. He stood up and told people what he was there to do. How bold are we at work to let people know? I know this was in a synagogue, but do we let people know what we represent? I'm really blessed. Some of you have shared with me, you're very bold with that at your workplace. I really admire that. You've done it to a degree that I haven't, in just talking with some of you. And it so impresses me. And it's following this scripture. We stand up and we say, the body of Christ is here, folks. And here's what it offers. Here's what it offers. It's upon us because he's anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent us to proclaim a release to the captives and the regaining of sight to the blind. And I would add in all the healing that goes with any ailment. And we covered that last week. If you want to review that online, you can. But it's there's so many times when every disease is listed out in the New Testament, and especially Deuteronomy 28:61, being that everything was under the curse of the law, and then Galatians 3:13, that we're redeemed from all of those perpetual diseases, chronic diseases, everything. Just a reminder there. To set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. See, we're still supposed to be proclaiming, hey, Christ has come. This is a finished work. This is a finished work. You have all that Christ paid for you. We're supposed to declare that. And we can, you know, the world's, when someone's walking in a high level of darkness, or a low level of darkness, I guess is a better word. If they're walking in a low level of darkness, this is a little bit, we have to meter that out. Like I might not say, Jesus has healed and saved you. Will you receive it? I don't grab someone at work. But if they're scared, I had this opportunity. A lady was just terrified at work because she left her phone at home. And her kids were, she had a teenager watching an infant. And she was really nervous about it. Well, I was able to, we were able to get aside a little bit away from the office, away from the busyness, and just believe for stuff to work out. But I also acted, I said, is there someone I can call that can swing by? And I knew there was another driver that she would probably name, that had someone in mind, another employee that had some. So I called that lady for her, and then we have the ability to text a vehicle that a driver's in. So I texted her vehicle and said, so-and-so's on the way to look after your kids. Now, I could have gotten in trouble. It's not a company function, technically. But think of all the dumb things we communicate about at work. So if my boss ever gets me on that, I'll say, hey, I have to listen to you guys rant and rave about some Vikings game. The least I can do is tell someone something that's going to change their life forever. You know, that's the least I can do. And if you don't want me doing that, fine. But, you know, we have to kind of balance things out these days with the political correctness in our work environment. But don't balance it out too much. Don't try too hard. Don't try too hard to meter that. Because when they need life, they still will. They'll come to you because you believe in life. When they need life and they need peace, they'll still come to us. And you know, not that it's about us. You have to kind of qualify that. But you guys know what I mean. They'll come to the folks that represent Christ. They'll come to his body, which makes sense because the head is in heaven, and we're his body endued with that power. Alrighty, so greater works. Greater works, Jesus said. Wonders and miraculous signs. And he's anointed us.